Good morning and blessings to you this morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and we will be glad in it. I thank the Lord for waking me up this morning and starting me on my way. I thank the Lord because he has given me another chance to praise him. I thank the Lord because he has raised me up today in my right mind. That regardless of everything that's going on right now, I realize that he is still on the cross, and I still recognize him as my Lord and my Savior, and I still recognize that all things are possible if we trust in him, have faith in him, and believe in him. This morning, I'd like to talk to you about struggles. And I'd like to know, have you ever been in a place where you just feel like you're just done? I know that I have. And I feel this morning there's so many people in different situations and circumstances that are feeling that they're done. There's a phrase that's out there that emphasizes a particular situation in life or something in general. And we say that the struggle is real. And I know today the struggle is certainly real in a lot of lives, in most of our lives right now, not just here in this city, not just here in this nation, but all around the world, the struggle is real. In this season, there are so many challenges and heartaches that we're going through. We as Christians sometimes find it hard to stay focused and to stay positive, and even to keep it going. Now, I want to say that because I want people to know that just because you're Christians, it don't mean that you don't have feelings and that you don't have emotions. It don't mean that it's not hard, you always are going to stay focused, that you're not going to have heartaches and heartbreaks. We are human. It has been said that we are human beings going through a spiritual experience. And today I would like to share with you about a person who went through some struggles. So if you can turn your Bibles to Genesis, the 32nd chapter, and we'll go from verse 24 to verse 30. And the scripture reads, "So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched, and as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, 'Let me go, for it is daybreak.' But Jacob replied, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' The man asked him, 'What is your name?' 'Jacob,' he answered. Then the man said, 'Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with man and have overcome.' Jacob said, 'Please tell me your name.' But he replied, 'Why do you ask my name?' Then he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, 'It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared.'" May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Jacob began that night dreading his brother Esau's arrival. Jacob had deceived his brother Esau for their father's blessing. Jacob was a deceitful man, but Jacob in turn was deceived by Laban, his father-in-law. He worked for 7 years for one wife, the youngest daughter, and he was fooled into marrying the oldest daughter. But he still yearned for the younger daughter, And he worked for another 7 years to receive the hand of Rachel, the younger daughter. It reminds me that sometimes you don't always get your first choice. Amen? But since Jacob had already stole his father's blessing from Esau, Esau was upset and was coming after him. So Jacob was full of fear and desperation. But when the night ended, Jacob had struggled with God and received God's blessing, and his faith was renewed. May all of our struggling with God lead us to faith and peace with God. Now, isn't it interesting that in Genesis 31 and 13, when Jacob realized that his father-in-law didn't look at him the same way, and his brother-in-laws didn't look at him the same way, that he came to him in a vision, and Jacob knew that it was time to move on. But this time, God did a different thing. He addressed Jacob's fear by wrestling with him all night. This probably felt to Jacob like a bad time to be wrestling. He just wanted peace and he just wanted comfort. But he later realized just how comforting it was, because sometimes when we just want God's comfort, he sends in the unexpected and even the unwanted packages. God even afflicted Jacob with a debilitating injury. What this injury did, it made Jacob have to have faith in God as opposed to being able to fight and to run. Amen? He was no longer known as the one who received his blessing by deception. But this time, this gift that God gave him was a gift of restoration, because he wrestled with God. And Jacob's faith pleased God, and he rewarded Jacob's request. In Hebrews 11 and 6, it says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." When God calls us to wrestle with him, there's always more going on than we understand. Amen? And God, when he wrestles with us, he's doing it because he wants to use it to transform us for good. This story of Jacob, it tells a story of God's power, his power to change and renew. But I find it interesting that of all the names that God could give his people, he chose Israel. There are different opinions as to what Israel really means, but when you go back into Genesis 32, which we read, the name Israel means he struggles with God. It would seem that God, in his infinite wisdom, chose to call his people strugglers. As we consider what this means for us today, as we consider what it means for us as we live in between the times that are going on right now, let us remember that the true God of Israel, the true God of us, has called us Israel, the children of Israel, for we are strugglers. Is there any other better description of this, of what life looks like right now? What life looked like before? What life might look like in the future? As Christians, we are called on to be just like Jacob, to be strugglers, to wrestle with God, to wrestle with man, to wrestle until we receive the blessings that God wants us to have. Now, you might ask me, well, what does that mean to struggle with God? It means that we struggle with the providence and the divine intervention of God. I just want to stop right there for a minute. Because in conversation yesterday, somebody brought to my attention that the governor of New York said that the number of people being sick and in the hospitals with the virus is going down. But it has nothing to do with God. Well, I don't know about the God that he serves, but I can tell you right now that the Bible that I read said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the world was void. There was nothing here until he created it. So I find and I have to rebuke and dispute what the governor said. Because the God that I know, there is divine intervention in anything and everything that goes on in this world. But there's nothing that happened unless he chooses to let it happen. So to struggle with God means that we struggle. And I know people are struggling right now and saying, why, God, aren't you not doing something? But we're struggling with his providence. We are struggling with tension that already has been here and tension that's not even here yet. We live in a sinful world. We live in a world between the one that exists and the one that God promises to come. So we live in a world that is affected by sin and inhabited by sinners. There's illness, there's disease, there's famine, there's natural disasters, and all kind of consequences of living in a world that is infected and affected by sin. Not yet made new, because I know in later on that he's going to make all things new. We live in a world where there's lawlessness, violence, terrorism, and war, and consequences of war. We live in a world that have not succumbed to the consequences and the providence of God. That's why man think that they can cure everything, that they can heal everything, that they can overcome everything. We can only overcome through God. Our struggle is never to be against him. No matter how dark things might appear, it is in his providence. We are never to fight against God. Don't you know that your arms are too short to box with God? But there are many times in our lives that we just don't understand what God is doing. And there are times that we will question, why do bad things happen to us? What is it for us as a Christian to do? You know, people like to come to us like we have all the answers. And we don't have all the answers. But we trust him. We sit back and we trust him. What is the Christian to do when your marriage breaks down? What is the Christian to do when your child runs away and turns his or her back on his whole family? What is the Christian to do when somebody dies an unexpected death? What is the Christian to do? What are we to do when the doctors tell us it's cancer? What are we supposed to do when there's an accident that happens and all of a sudden it appears to be an unnecessary loss of life? What are we to do? What are we to do when the quality of life that we have become so familiar with is lost in an instance? What are we to do? Quite simply, many of us in those times, we struggle with God. But isn't that what Job did? Through all the dark providences of his life, Job struggled, and just like Jacob, he did not let go. Job struggled and he prevailed despite the opposition he received from those closer to him. And the same is true for us today, that no matter how dark things might get, we must hold on to God's unchanging hands. No matter how black the clouds over us might appear, no matter how dark the day seems, we got to still hold on. Even though we struggle to hold on. Job's wife encouraged him to curse God. His wife told him to give up and to die. But Job refused, struggling to accept his circumstances. We, like Job today, we all striving with all of our might to hold on until the day breaks. And eventually, I tell you today that the day will break. Are we to say, just like Jacob, that we will wrestle with you and we will not let go until you bless me? Oh, don't you know that in this time and in this season, God is still in the blessing business. It might not be a joyous occurrence that we're going through right now, but God is still looking to bless us. The pain just don't make sense right now, but God is still willing and able to bless us. It is now that we must trust God in the midst of the hardship that we're going through. We must be content resting in his arms, knowing that this is something that he has sent our way, knowing that he really does intend to make all things good for us and for his glory. It is struggling well. There's a way to struggle. We have to learn to struggle well. Struggling with God means that as we struggle, we know that God is right beside us and we are not without God. There's always tension between the already and the not yet. You see, because we are already struggling and we have not received our blessing as yet. So in this period right now, there is tension going on. There is a struggle going on. But I want you to know today that we that know the Lord, we have all been made new in Christ. But we still struggle because we're not perfected yet. So when you see your brother or your sister struggling, you need to encourage them because we're not all perfected yet. Somebody's faith might be wavering just a little bit, but encourage them because we're not all perfect yet. This means that our life will be one in which we'll struggle with all the sins that still remain around us. Paul said, "For that which I do, allow not. For what I would, that I would not, but what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the Lord that it is good. Now then, it is no more that I do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. For if I do that I would not, if it do more, I that do it, but sin that dwelleth within me." And then in verse 23, he says, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." We must do our utmost to try to put the law of sin to death and to pursue holiness and righteousness. And you say, well, how can you pursue holiness and righteousness? The Bible tells me And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth within you. That's to say that if you have the Holy Spirit, it can overcome the flesh that is in you. It can overcome that to raise you to holiness and to righteousness. Paul says we strive because the Holy Spirit is within us. I want to say to you today that focusing on yourself is the opposite of focusing on God. Too many in the world right now are focusing on self and not focusing on God. And I say also that there's many in the world today that are now focusing on God like they've never focused on God before. Anybody who completely absorbs in self completely ignores God. But we are to struggle together with God beside us, in front of us, behind us, around us, against sin and the evil one. And we too are not to let go. We too are not to let up. We are supposed to hold on until the day breaks, just like Jacob did. The presence of the struggle should not concern us. If we had no struggles, I would really be concerned. Living for Christ means that we will struggle. In John, the 16th chapter, verses 32 to 33, it says, a time is coming, and in fact, when you will be scattered, each to your own home, you will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. We must learn to struggle well. God will meet you in your anguish. God will meet you in your fear. God will meet you at that place of uncertainty. He may not meet you where you want to meet him. He may not meet you where you desire to meet him, but he will show up in a way where you might not even know that it's God. Your greatest enemy, your greatest ally, might show up looking like an enemy at first, indicating that you want to wrestle with him, indicating that you want to fight. But you might remember that God, when he blesses, he shows up as something different, and we must look through different eyes than what we see physically. You might want to hear words of soft comfort. You might want to be left alone in your thoughts. You might not want to just sleep. You might want to have a healthy hip. But what you need is God's blessing. So if remember, there are blessings in the wrestling. Through your struggles, God is bringing you to a place of greater influence. Have you noticed that right now, as a Christian, you have greater influence over those people that you know than you ever had before, because they're seeking for something greater than what they know of. Through your struggles, God is making you be a blessing to your brothers and sisters, your physical sisters, your natural brothers, your natural sisters, but your brother and sisters in Christ. You have to say, yes, I might be going through a struggle, but I'm going to grow through my struggle. You have to say, I'm developing something here. I'm developing my spiritual muscles. I'm developing some compassion, some patience, some endurance. Right now, in all of this situation going on, don't you know compassion is growing? Don't you know patience is growing? Don't you know endurance is growing? I think that there's a madness and there's a method to some of the things that God is doing right now. There were times you can come to church and you couldn't stand sitting or seeing somebody. Now you talk to them on the phone and it's good to hear their voice. Yes, I'm going through a struggle, but I'm growing through it. I'm growing through some long suffering. I'm learning to be patient with my God through some long suffering. The Bible says in Acts, the 14th chapter and the 22nd verse, strengthening the souls of the disciples and encouraging them to continue in the faith. We must endure many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. We must endure hardships to enter into the kingdom of God. It's not, you can't pay your way into it. You can't be born into it. You can't do good things to get in there. The Bible says that we got to hold on to our faith while we endure the hardships to enter into the kingdom of God. Romans 8 and 37 says, no, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. There's no testimony without a test. No victory without a battle. You can't claim victory without a battle. A battle is a fight. A battle is confrontation. In a battle, there's some frustration. In a battle, there's some disappointment. But at the end of all of these things, we want to come out victorious. And we know that we have the victory right now because on the cross, victory, total victory was won. Let me say this to you, that the struggle won't last forever. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy is going to come in the morning. This struggle is an instrument of God's transitioning into our lives. This struggle means that we are on our way somewhere. The devil won't fight you if you're not going nowhere. If you're not going nowhere and you're going to be the same individual you were before this thing came around, the devil ain't fighting you. But those of us who know that we have to go through something, we have to go through a fight, that right now we're transitioning into something greater. I believe that God is doing something greater than just church in a building. I believe that God is doing something greater where we'll learn to appreciate one another and not take each other for granted. I believe that not just in the church, but in our families. I believe that God is going to make it this transition of what we're doing. He's going to make us grateful to be able to go out and look at the beauties and the wonders that he has set before us. Before right now, oh, we're so ready to get in a car and go somewhere. Get on a bus, a train, and a plane to go somewhere. But there's beauty in walking outside of your house and walking to the park. Seeing the beauty of the flowers. Seeing the beauty of nature that God has created for us to enjoy. The struggle prepares you for the future. Don't you know that what you're going through right now is preparing you for something else that is going to happen, something that's going to change. Life might not be the way it used to be always, but this struggle prepares you for it. It's preparing you to be grateful for the small things that you took for granted. The struggle is an indication of a transition. So when God calls you to wrestle with him, wrestle with him in prayer. When God calls you to wrestle with him, understand it is an invitation to receive his blessing. I encourage you this morning, don't let go until he blesses you. He loves to bless you, and you have to hold on with that tenacious faith that Jacob had, that Job had. And when you hold on and when you come out, you will be transformed. We will not let go. I need some people out there to say today, wherever you are, that I will not let go, Lord, until you bless me. I will not let go until I go through this transition, Lord, that you are changing me to. When God changes you, he changes you into something new. He changes you into something bold. He changes you into something for his glory. Don't let go. like Jacob, we can get scared and we can stop and we can wonder what God is doing. But we can also get saved and into a relationship with Christ by asking for forgiveness. Asking for forgiveness of our sins and declaring Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It is through our brokenness. Sometimes God has got to break you down to build you up. He had to break Job down to make him an example for people to see that he might be down, but he wasn't out. He had to break Jacob down to make him into something for his glory. When you look at the story of all of these, some of these prophets and people that are famous in the Bible, they were not perfect people. Jacob was a liar. He was a deceiver. He stole somebody, his brother's blessings. But God used him for his purposes. There's somebody out there right now, you're broken, you're going through something, and you're thinking that God cannot use you. Maybe people in the church told you God can't use you. But I'm telling you right now, God, if he can use a liar and a deceitful person like Jacob, he can use you. God used a liar, adulterer, like David. He can use you. When God used somebody like Abraham, who lied that his wife was his sister, he can use you. When God takes somebody like a Saul and turns him into a Paul, somebody who persecuted Christians, he can use you. When God uses somebody like a Peter who denied and who cursed and who fussed and who cussed, he can use you. God has tremendous power to change and make all things new. Maybe this is a time that you need to sit back and search the scriptures. Maybe this is a time that you need to just pray and ask the Lord for guidance in your life. Some of us and so many people that I know, God has been good to us in spite of all the things that we've done and we've been through. But maybe now God is giving a time in this season to reflect back on what a great and wonderful, merciful Savior he has been towards you. By admitting our brokenness to him, we can enter into a relationship with the Lord. And this is just not one earthly relationship. This is a relationship that lasts throughout eternity. So if that's you today and you want to enter into a different lifestyle, a different relationship, a different understanding, a different meaning, a way to see things the way God sees them somewhat through spiritual eyes as opposed to our physical eyes, if you want to have peace where there is no peace all around you, I say to you today, you can accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And I'm going to say this prayer with you, but I want you to understand that it's not the prayer that saves you. It's the repentance, and it's the faith behind the prayer that you pray that moves us and moves you to salvation. So I'm going to ask you out there to bow your heads and repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and I cannot save myself. But by faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. I believe that you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins. and rose from the dead on the third day. I believe your words come into my heart. Jesus, be my Savior. Be my Lord and be my Savior. And I thank you, Lord, and I bless your name. Amen. And if you have sincerely taken those words into your heart, today, not tomorrow, but right now, today, you have received salvation. And Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. May God continue to bless you. May you continue to understand that in this struggle, God is in the midst of this struggle. Don't believe that God has got nothing to do with anything. God has got to do with everything. The Bible teaches us that he knows the end to the beginning. So all of this stuff in between, he already knows. Don't be fooled. Ask the Lord for your wisdom and discernment. Ask the Lord to guide your path. Ask him to show you which way to go. Ask the Lord, and you will be surprised. For those of you who don't know, but many of you won't be surprised, because God hears us and God answers our prayers. He knows our thoughts. He knows our thoughts before we even think them. But he's waiting for you to speak to him. Speak to your Heavenly Father. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Amen.
You have been listening to the Cathedral of Higher Praise with Pastor Dr. Philip Boone. To contact the church or Dr. Boone, please write the Cathedral of Higher Praise, 155 Grand Avenue, New Haven, Connecticut, 06513, or call at 203-776-7676. That's 203-776-7676. Or contact the Cathedral online at www.cathedralofhigherpraise.org. That's www.cathedralofhigherpraise.org. For Dr. Philip Boone and the Cathedral of Higher Praise family, I've been Brother Johnny Williams. Until we meet again, in Jesus' name, amen.